Elementary music teacher friend, you love what you do, but you might feel unappreciated and, in fact, unseen some days. You may even feel like you're on a music teacher island and just want to connect with other music teachers who can relate to both your struggles and wins when it comes to teaching elementary music. I get you and understand completely the feelings you're having. That's why each and every week, the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast will provide you with solo and guest episodes that will help you realize you're not alone in your music teaching journey. Throughout each episode, my goal is for you to be able to walk away with actionable steps and ideas to help you feel like you're ready to take on the new week with whatever challenges may be thrown your way. Hi, I'm your host, Jessica Paresta, and I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're at home, in your car, in the shower, or wherever else you're listening, grab your cup of coffee or whatever other beverage is nearby and listen in to the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast.
I'm William Andreessen, host of Speaking with Students, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I am joined today by Preet Shaw. He is going to discuss with me utilizing AI in music education. I was telling him before we started recording that this is something I'm really excited to also learn more about because we know AI is a really big deal right now. And so I'm also excited to chat about how to use it in the music education setting and with your students as well. So with all that said, welcome to the podcast. I'd love for you to just introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about it from a very particular angle. I think music is a really good way to talk about some of the human aspects of it. But to start off, I'm an education technology entrepreneur. So I build various different solutions for education that use technology to kind of solve some of our deepest problems. The last few years, we've been focusing on AI as that problem and solution, I think that is the right way to think about it. And part of that includes like professional development for teachers. We've got our own tools for students and teachers. And then we do a lot of thought leadership on it, including a book.
Awesome. Well, yay. I'm so excited for you to talk more about that towards the end. We'll definitely shoot those links in the bio as well, in the show notes, I mean. Okay. So for those listening, and it's okay if you haven't heard of AI, but can you just start off by explaining what AI is?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. So when we think about artificial intelligence, we want to think about the ability for machines to do human-like cognitive activities. And that's the really, like, that's the umbrella way to understand all different types of AI. But we've also seen, like, this has various iterations. And so AI has already been a thing, like your Siri or Alexa, so those are powered by AI technologies. The Netflix algorithm that tells you what show to watch next is powered by AI. But those kinds don't really freak you out. And there are other ones that we're talking about in education, maybe in some aspects, but not at the levels that we've been talking about the last few years. The kind of AI that we're probably going to talk about today and folks want to learn about more about is called generative AI. And that's the one that we really want to focus in on thinking about the potential and what kind of conversations we need to have with our students, which is basically that like the technology is able to actually generate new content and not just classify or do bare minimum tasks with existing content. And so it kind of learns patterns and things that it knows and then tries to replicate those patterns. But we can talk a bit more about that means for music versus words and all those kinds of things too.
Perfect. Yeah, I told you we decided to just record and talk about this actually on the episode. But Dr. Patrick Cooper, if you're listening, he is a music ed professor and was doing a survey. I want to say it was for one of his classes or something like that. But basically, like, can you tell if this lesson plan was created through AI or through a human? And I was like, oh, no problem. I'll totally be able to tell. I've written a million of these. And I was like, okay, maybe not. So I'm fascinated by it because I think sometimes AI, maybe you can definitely talk about this, but maybe because it's not been, it has been around a while, but not in the sense of, like you said, using it in education, that a lot of teachers are just like, oh my gosh, it's replacing me or like that. Like if it's writing my lesson plans, then am I doing an effective job? So I don't know what your just any of your thoughts around that for teachers listening.
Yeah, we hear this concern a lot, and I think that's actually why folks kind of hesitate to kind of think about how they might productively use it. And that's one where, like, I think the media has done a really bad job of kind of making this seem like a really scary monster that's going to take, and it will take away some jobs. So the reality is that is true of, like, you know, there are jobs that will, like, change because of AI. We'll have new jobs, we'll lose some past jobs. But one thing I'm really confident of, and maybe I think other folks in education are also this confident, is that teachers aren't going anywhere, that we really need the human element in education. If we think about just like how much of a difference Zoom education made, I'm hoping that that kind of calms folks' nerves. Like, we couldn't even fully like teach students while we were digitally doing it because it wasn't the same. Students weren't having the same social emotional development. They weren't feeling as motivated. And that's the human teacher across like a video camera. So now imagine there's not even a human on the other side of their screens. We're not replacing that human aspect anytime soon. So what we really want to think about with AI is, A, how can we embrace it to make us better educators? And so making lesson plans is a great way to think about that. So not having to make lesson plans isn't being replaced. That's actually a pretty good thing, right? So we should all be thinking about, like, if I have to do a little bit less grunt work before I show up for my class, what else can I do to better prepare myself to, you know, be better for my students, like meet their needs better? But it's still you and like the human will be necessary to be in the classroom, like helping the students navigate it, like, you know, like a teacher crouching next to a student and that next to a teacher, like a student on a desk, is a very different experience for the student versus like an AI chatbot saying, oh, like, help me, how can I help you? Like, it's just, it's a very different experience. And so, I'm hoping that folks can kind of like take some of the media headlines, take a deep breath and see that like we're fundamentally humans will want to learn from other humans.
Mm-hmm. Here's another good example of that. I have a podcast editor and she also does my blog post for me that goes along with the episodes. Well, anyways, she is from younger generation. I'll just be honest. Like, you know, I'm older. She was like, hey, I'm going to write your blog post, but do you care if I use AI? And I, because it's newer to me too, at first was like, I mean, I go, how about yes, but then let me see it so I can make sure it's still my voice. And when I saw it, she would plug in like the bullet points and the headers I had and things. I would just have to change out instead of like we to I or something simple like that. But it was amazing to me how, I don't know, like it looked like I wrote it. It was kind of scary in a way, in a good way. Yeah. But yeah, so all that to say, I know what those feelings are like. Like, oh, I don't know, but I'm used to doing it, but it's a good thing.
Right. And think about like there is a level of like thinking that went into producing those initial bullet points that only you could have done, right? You were on the episode, like you kind of talked to your guests, and only you were able to like use that insight to come up with those bullet points. And not having to put it into prose, like, is that really right? Like, is that really right, the place where your particular impact as a human was taking place? Probably not, right? Like that your impact was taking place in the conversations you had, in the audience you already have, the relationships you build with people, and that will still be yours. And so if you can get a little bit of like the work that isn't uniquely yours done, it gives you more time to do the things that are unique to you.
Perfect. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great point. So we've talked about lesson plans, but how else have you seen teachers already use AI in their teacher life?
Yeah, there's such a wide variety here. And so I think for folks who are probably still like in the let me just dabble with this technology or see where it can even do. Lesson plans, worksheets, those kinds of like the paper goods, I would think, say, are probably the easiest place to start because you don't have to put it in front of students. You have kind of a chance to like check it over, review it before it makes it public. I think the way you want us to review the blog post before it came out and about, like you might be a little bit more skeptical about having like AI do a live stream of your podcast episode as you, right? Like you might, okay, like that's not something I might want to do. But, you know, something that you can check over and add in your own feedback and your own corrections is definitely a good place to start. So lesson plans, worksheets, even drafting emails, drafting permission slips, drafting even like different differentiated texts for folks. And so if you're like assigning a new reading and then wanting it at different reading levels, even crafting reading to assign, all those kinds of things, the AI technology is really good at doing. There's an entire suite of things you can kind of like think through in different parts of your job. And so AI can also like, you know, build spreadsheets for you. So if you're keeping track of grades or attendance or something like that in a spreadsheet, it can kind of do that for you. Put the formulas in, which, you know, I hated always keeping track of like all the different formula syntax. And so now that you can like have AI free to like write the formula for an Excel spreadsheet is pretty cool. But you kind of want to think about what are the tasks you do that are repetitive on a regular basis that don't really like make you really motivated to teach that aren't student facing right away. And those are the good places to start thinking about how you might want to incorporate AI.
Yeah. So you don't have to figure out how to use it in every area right away. Like you said, pick the ones that I love that you said that, like what's the grunt work and the things that are repetitive. It's like kind of having a virtual assistant in a way. I don't know. You know, it's like,
yeah, no, an assistant is a great way to think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it actually, like, even if you just go to, you know, a ChatGPT and say, hey, I'm a music teacher teaching fifth grade, students, and we're currently like learning about music history. What are some ways it can help me? Like, it'll even do that brainstorming with you to think through what are the potential ways even that AI might be able to help you. So even for that stage of it, you can kind of use the AI technologies as a brainstorming buddy. But definitely want to think about it as a buddy. That's a good, an assistant, a buddy, that's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it too. Okay, so you had mentioned to me about your opinion on the importance from a humanity skills and growth perspective. And so let's kind of have a conversation about maybe some concerns you have about justifying to students why they should learn things like languages, poetry, and music with the increase of AI technology. Kind of a loaded question.
Yeah, there's so much here we can talk about. And I think just like the way to frame the problem is just like, we've always had to answer to our students, like, why should I learn this? And I think that that's getting harder and harder to answer really quickly, because AI technologies are able to do things that we might traditionally teach our students to do. And so Matt have had a lot of practice answering this question when it comes to like, why do I still need to learn basic arithmetic if a calculator can do this, right? Like, they have answers for why it's important for future skill development, right? Like, they're ready to go with that. I think new subject areas are having to answer that question because there are new things that these technologies can do. And so there are AI algorithms, including ones put up by Google, that will create music. And so why still learn to like play an instrument? Why still learn to sing? And those are the kind of questions that we're seeing pop up from students in all these areas of like creative endeavors, especially that AI technologies are now able to do. Mm-hmm. I think that this is one where it's a great time to pause, right? I think it's a great time to like sit down with students and kind of like explore what role like music plays in human interactions, like what role it plays for the person playing the music, creating the music, what role it plays for the person who receives the music, how you receive music differently in different contexts. And so a concert versus like on a CD player versus on a radio versus like your friend playing an instrument, right? All those things are very different in emotional experience for you as the listener or you as the player in all those contexts. And so these are great moments to think about like, okay, even if AI can do things, are there reasons why we as humans might still want to do these things? And I think the answer will be yes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm thinking back to my band experience and the collaboration and the group work aspect and whatever you're involved in school, that was like my place to hang out even outside of band. It was just like you find your people and that's just where you kind of hang out. And so I love that, bringing it back to the humanity aspect of why, though, what is the importance of it? It's, yes, playing the instrument itself is important, but there's so many other amazing things surrounding that that I think kids of this generation, maybe not that they don't realize, but maybe they just need some reminders about, you know.
Right. No, I think some reminders is a great way to think about it. And there's even like really good social emotional development reasons for the students themselves to think about like why that's a good outlet for them when they're stressed out later in life, or why when they're anxious, why it might be nice to be able to sit at a piano and kind of play a song and kind of zone everything out while like the world is going on around you. So I think having those conversations about like why it's still important to do these things, even if like some technology can do the exact same thing, I think those are important conversations to start having now.
Yeah. I feel like you touched a little bit on this, but do you feel like AI has stifled creativity for both students and teachers? Or do you see this maybe being a problem in the future or maybe not?
Yeah. I don't think we've seen like too much stifling right now. I think most folks are still like brand new to the technology. I think they're exploring it. They kind of want to see how it can like allow them to be more creative. And that's what we're hoping it continues to be used for. So maybe like the lesson plan generator kind of gets you to like a 90% done lesson plan. And then you can kind of use your energy to like add some creative twists in ways that you might not have if you had to spend a lot of time doing the basic components of it. I am worried about what this means for the future. I think this is why this conversation is even important. I think starting to have conversations about like why human involvement in these things is important, why we should continue to be motivated to be creative and kind of push the boundaries of what it means to be human and what our unique contributions are. I think those are really important. And so if you're generating a lesson plan from ChatGPT or some other AI system, and then you're not really getting the chance to sit down and review it and think about the next step, that's when I start to see that these technologies might actually have a detrimental impact, right? I think that's where we might be removing some of the human elements of it. You do have context on your students, you have context on the area you work in, all those kinds of things are really important. And so taking that step to make sure that like you're still using your creative juices at the end of the day, it's appealing to kind of like start, you know, being like, okay, this is already taken care of for me by this technology. But I'm hoping that folks can kind of see that there's still some role for them to play that's important.
Mm-hmm. This ties directly into the next question. We've already touched on how teachers can use AI, but for students with we've talked about it can stifle creativity, but what are ways AI can help them with creativity as well?
Yeah. So I think that there's, in music classrooms in particular, I think this is interesting because this is one area where the most popular AI tools aren't like sound-based, but there are really good sound-based, music-based, in fact, AI systems out there. And so having students kind of play around with what kinds of music can they generate with these systems, like what kinds of words do they have to put in order to get similar things, even do an exploration of like musical theory and think about like, oh, if this song that I really like was like written by Beethoven or like in his way, what would like the classical musical component of this song sound like? Those are really good ways for students to start like thinking about how they might engage with the content of your class in ways that actually like is appealing to them. And this is a good use of AI technology in classrooms to differentiate because they kind of do the like heavy lifting of like connecting things that a student's interested in a way that an individual teacher just can't. Like you can't walk around and like tell a student like how their favorite song applies to a music theory you're teaching. But AI can do that. And so that's a good use of the technology. Have students ask questions about like a particular musical concept you're teaching and how it applies to their favorite singer or their favorite music as a way to kind of like get some practice in. Those are definitely the great starting places. I think as the music technology gets more robust, we'll see more and more uses of like students being able to maybe like they play one instrument and the AI plays a different instrument and put together a soundtrack, right? Like those kinds of things will be exciting, I think, for students to start thinking about and playing around with. Like if they're singing and the instrumentals get automated, created by an AI system, like that might be pretty cool. And so those are the kinds of things I'm hoping and start happening in a classroom sometime soon.
You used a word that obviously I can tell you're in the education world, differentiate, and that is a huge word in schools. You were told to differentiate with your students and you see, let's say, I don't know, on average 25 kids in your classroom. And I know sometimes with elementary music now, they're doing centers as well. Like, you know, everybody's in a small group and you're doing different things. And I know that it is sometimes exhausting walking to each and every group, trying to make sure everybody's on task and making sure you're answering all the questions. And even if you already have it typed out or whatever, they're still asking questions because of course they are. But that was a great point of you can't be everywhere. And it's not like this program or technology is replacing you. It's not you, but it's going to answer questions that you're not able to answer, like you said. So I think just, I don't know, all these ideas started swirling in my head when you started saying just the word differentiate, because I mean, even thinking about the different levels of learners you have in your room, some are going to need more support. And sometimes we know that, let's say you have three kids and they're on an IEP and you're doing the best you can and there's no aid in there. Sometimes that is such a helpful way as well, like looking at it that way. Right. So yeah, good points.
Yeah. And even if you think about like the next couple of months and maybe like next couple of years of the technology, I think we'll start to see even cooler ways to differentiate for our students. And so one thing that I'm really excited about is starting to see like some VR, AR. And I know this again, like folks start to like freak out when you start mentioning even more acronyms and technology. Like virtual reality or like modified the reality would be really interesting because like soon I have goggles on and they're playing the piano and like it's light, keys light up in different colors for them to like know where to place their fingers. Those kinds of things we'll start to see. And again, like that kind of individual, like if you have an entire band room and everybody's wearing these goggles and everybody's getting personalized feedback for exactly their what notes they're playing and their finger placement. Those are really useful and like fun for students to use, but also you can't do that. Like there's just no way for a human teacher to go around and check every single student's finger placement at the exact same time. But these AI technologies can start helping do that. And then you can kind of play the role of like helping them understand like the general music theory behind it. You can still go ahead and like teach them the basic concept and like the AI technology helping the students practice. But there is a role with this collaborative role between like teachers and the technologies. And I'm hoping we can start to see some of those really cool uses where it's like really hyper-focused feedback for individual students.
I love it. Yeah, I have a good example of this as well. I created a strategic plan for a middle school when I was going through grad school. I got my master's in ed tech. And so anyways, for their social studies department, and one thing they were wanting to implement more technology, but instead of just saying that, I was like, but how, what do you want it to look like over the next 5 years? And that's what they mentioned was VR. And at first I was like, what does that look like? And then I was like, how cool is that? Because I'm just going to be honest, social studies was never my thing. I think because I didn't have teachers that made it real, it was just kind of, I don't know, a high school coach who just sat at the desk. But now I feel like teachers are doing much better. But anyways, so they had bought some VR equipment, and I think the teachers didn't really know what to do with it. And so it was really neat helping them with some lesson plans of like, let them enter into these things they're reading about online. And it becomes like a real world experience. And you see these kids all of a sudden who maybe weren't interested, like, wow, I'm really curious about this, whatever it is now. Right. So it's neat. It really is. I'm excited about that, too.
Yeah, I think the VR world is super fascinating. And again, like when we think about like the student engagement problem that we've been facing, especially post-COVID, I think all of these things are like really good antidotes to it. And so like in some ways, while we might have like some struggle in the short term figuring out how to talk to our students about this and how we ourselves might want to learn more about it, I think these things, if we like embrace them the right way, can actually like solve this problem of like getting students to kind of get excited about what you want to do, what we're teaching.
Mm-hmm. We have covered so much today, but is there anything else you want to discuss when it comes to utilizing AI in the music room?
Yeah, the only other thing I would say is that I think an important conversation to have with our students is also about like the IP that goes behind AI algorithms. So it's really exciting to see how it's built and how it's used, I think just starting to have some conversations with our students about the ethics of AI is really important. So thinking about, okay, when these AI algorithms are trained on like thousands of hours of real musicians play music without any compensation, like those kinds of questions I do think is important to just like start having with our students, because I'm hoping that we start to see at least some sort of like oversight, some sort of ethical changes in the compensation models on the training. But I think those are conversations that we got. Students will be the ones who create more AI later, so let's start having those conversations now so they can start thinking about what implications do these technologies have on the environment, what implications do they have on like musicians and creativity, why are the Hollywood writers striking, right? Like those kinds of questions can start helping students understand what the ethical implications are as well.
That'd be a great conversation to tie into, and if students are learning about copyright law or things like that as well, because yeah, for sure, I can see that. I never thought about that, but being a big issue where you're just, you know, scrolling along and you see this song that you wrote playing and nobody asked your permission and you're like, wait a minute, hold on, that's my song. So yeah, I can see that kind of thing.
Or like it's a new song because the AI technology is trained on your voice, like your background, your lyrics. And like there's a new Taylor Swift song that's not written by Taylor Swift. Like that, those kinds of things are really important conversations for having with our students, because it's all doable now, right? Like that's technology that exists right this second. Maybe it's not the most popular technology yet, but they're like anybody with a computer and like a couple of hours of Googling can make that happen. Mm-hmm. And so just starting to have those conversations now is really important.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned your book, and I would love for you to mention that, but also where everybody can connect with you as well after this airs.
Yeah. Awesome. So the book is AI in the Future of Education. And it kind of takes this middle line stance of like, we need to be cautious and be careful about how we implement AI and think about AI, but that it can also be really helpful. And so there's lots of suggestions, very like specific suggestions for how you might want to use it, what big questions we kind of need to answer in order to think about education as a whole in the next few years. And that's found everywhere where books are sold. It's available in audiobook format, digital format, and physical copy. And then folks should definitely follow our Instagram. We are constantly posting like free prompts and free news updates, kind of contextualizing everything to AI and education. And that's at Pedagogy Cloud.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been an awesome conversation. I've enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, me too.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for listening into the Elementary Music Teacher Podcast. There is an exclusive Facebook group just for listeners of this podcast and any elementary music teacher called the Elementary Music Teacher Community Facebook group. Come on over and join us there, where we have conversations around the podcast episodes and encourage each other each and every week. And also head to my website, thedomesticmusician.com. I have some free resources there that you can download to help you gain traction in your classroom today, as well as the blog and the membership site and all kinds of other goodies to help you keep going in your music teaching journey. I cannot wait to keep connecting with you and encouraging you and spurring you on in your journey of teaching elementary music. Hang in there, have an amazing week, and I will see you soon.